Acts chapter 17, verse 1 through 4 to begin with. Then we'll proceed momentarily a little bit further into this chapter. Acts 17, 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. We were in this portion of Scripture last Sunday morning, and we noticed as they came into Thessalonica, there was a synagogue there. Paul went into that synagogue as his manner was. There was a synagogue at Thessalonica. And we notice that in this synagogue, as in every synagogue, there was a Bible. There was the Old Testament Scriptures, the Law, and the Prophets, and the Psalms. We notice that in this synagogue where the Scriptures was found, Paul met with them. Paul assembled. Paul went there for 3 weeks straight, reasoning with them out of Scripture, reasoning with them from the Word of God, the Old Testament book, the Old Testament covenant. And he did all of this for a reason. He did all this. There was a point that we tried to make last week. The point of his going to the synagogue where the Scripture was and reasoning with them was to show them that the Christ of the Old Testament, the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament, that Christ had to come, had to suffer, had to die, had to rise again. And he wanted to make the point that that Christ that is found in the Old Testament Scriptures was Jesus of the New Testament. He preached unto them Jesus Christ. And the point that I tried to make last Sunday morning was this. This church is a church of the book. This church is a place where the Word of God is found. This church, Faith Baptist Church of Wauseon, Ohio, is a place where Jesus Christ is preached and Jesus Christ is presented. That Jesus Christ is lifted up, as he said, if he'd be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. This church is a place where we read the book, we preach the book, we study the book, we teach the book, with the point of showing folks Jesus Christ. And Paul did all this, and he came to an end of what more he could do. He could present Christ to them, but then he had to wait upon the Holy Spirit to make it effectual. He had to wait upon the Holy Spirit to make someone willing to come. And that's the same in this New Testament Baptist Church, Faith Baptist Church. We are a people of the book. We preach Christ and Him crucified. But there comes a place where that's all we can go and do. That there comes a place where we have to stop and say, now it's in the hands of the Lord. Point being, we don't pressure people. We don't try to coerce people. We don't try to get people to do anything. When a person makes a profession of faith, when a person comes wanting to be baptized, when a person comes and wants to unite with this church, they have to do so willingly. They have to do so under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They're not going to do it under any pressure they get from us, because we don't seek harm for anybody or concerning anybody. We seek to lift up Christ, give Christ the honor and the glory, and we wait up on the Lord to save. We wait upon the Lord to bring someone to baptism. We wait upon the Lord. Faith Baptist Church is never going to do anybody harm because we are a people of the book. We preach the book. We lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to begin now with verse number 5. Read through to verse number 15. And continue on in this portion of Scripture. With all the things that we just discussed in verse 1 through 4 in mind, verse 5 says, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on in uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went unto the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Rather, those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached at Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens. And receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed." Paul went into Philippi preaching Jesus Christ. Paul went into Thessalonica preaching Jesus Christ. Paul went to Berea preaching Jesus Christ. Paul finds himself driven to Athens, and he will be moved by the Spirit while he's at Athens to preach Jesus Christ. He's lifting up everywhere he goes the truth concerning the Christ of the Old Testament being the Jesus of the New Testament. He preached Christ and Christ crucified and waited upon the Lord to work as the Lord would be pleased to work. And that was his habit, and that was his custom, and that was his form everywhere he went, particularly on this first and second missionary journey. He preached Christ and waited for the Lord to work. Waited for the Lord to move and work amongst the people. And I want you to notice from this extended reading this morning that there are three responses that are found amongst the people concerning the preaching of the Apostle Paul, the lifting up of Jesus Christ. In verse number 4, some of them believe. That's the first response noted. It was noted in Philippi. It was noted here in Thessalonica. It'll be noticed in Berea. It'll be noticed in Athens. When Jesus Christ was preached and the Apostle Paul lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "This is the Christ of the Old Testament. This is Jesus who God sent. Believe on him and be saved." People believed. People received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We see in verse number 4, "And some of them believed." And we see that thought and that statement throughout the missionary endeavors of the Apostle Paul. But in verse number 5, it says, "But the Jews which believe not, moved with envy, took upon them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." So when Jesus Christ was preached, as Paul lifted up Jesus Christ, some believed, some were saved, but some did not believe. Some were not saved. And that is true everywhere the Apostle Paul went on his missionary journeys. Some not only did not believe, but some got mad, got angry, got upset at the preaching of Christ, at the preaching of the Apostle Paul. They not only did not believe, but they didn't like what he was preaching. They didn't like that Paul's preaching, in a roundabout way, made it look like they were guilty of the slaying of Jesus Christ. So some believed, some believe not. In verse number 11, it says, "These at Berea, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, rather those things were so." Here we find a third response in our passage of scripture this morning to the preaching of Jesus Christ. Some believed, some didn't believe and got angry, but some received the word, listened to the word, searched the word, tried the word, proved the word, looked to the word of God to see if what Paul said was true. That's a totally different response. Notice in verse number 12, "Therefore, many of them, that verse number 11 refers to, therefore, in relationship to, therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." That "therefore" and that statement, that "therefore many of them believed" in verse number 12, is indicating that those people that received the word, searched the word, looked to see if those things were so, were lost. They were not yet saved. It follows that they received the word, they received it with readiness of mind, they searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so, to see if those things were true. It was after that time of searching that some of them believed, some of them were saved. So there's three responses in our text from last week and our expanded text this morning. And this room this morning is filled with those three responses. I'm looking at a group of people who are exactly what you find here in this passage of Scripture. I look out and some of you have believed. Some of you have received the Lord Jesus Christ. I look out and there are some here who have not believed and are angry about it and don't want to hear about Jesus Christ and don't want to hear about their sins and don't want to hear that they need a Savior. They refuse to believe and they don't want to hear about it. But I think there are also some here who have heard about Jesus Christ, heard the preaching of God's Word, who are considering, who are reasoning, who are thinking, who are searching these things daily to see if they're so. Which one of these three are you this morning? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you refused to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you searching? Or are you looking? Or are you studying? Or are you considering? Rather or not, these things were so. They received the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures daily. Rather, those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. It resulted in many of them that searched the scriptures believing. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. As we have seen recently, herein is love. This is real love. God sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and died to save people from their sins. And that's always the central message of the Lord's true New Testament Baptist churches. It's the lifting up of Jesus Christ. It's the preaching of Christ. It's the saying that in the Old Testament you had the Messiah promise and the Christ promise. In the New Testament you had the coming of the Christ and you had the coming of the Savior. And that Savior was Jesus Christ. It is our commission, it is our charge to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Irregardless of the subject, irregardless of the passage of Scripture, irregardless of what verse in the Bible we're reading, it is our responsibility chiefly to lift up Jesus Christ and seek the salvation of sinners. And some believe, some do not believe, but some search, some try these things, some look. Some read the scriptures. And that's really all I ask of people who sit in this auditorium, who sit in this congregation. There are those here who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those here that refuse to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are mad about it. If you're not a believer, and you're not qualified or classified as a believer who's mad about it, all I ask you to do is be reasonable. All I ask you to do is do what the Bereans did. Paul came preaching Christ. Paul took the Old Testament and he read from the Old Testament and he said all of these references concerning the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ of the Old Testament, they were about Jesus and he's the one I'm preaching unto you. And many of them reasoned, searched, looked those things up. And that's all I ask. Don't get mad about it. Don't be upset about the fact that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. But think about it. Search the scriptures. See if these things are not so. If you keep yourself open, instead of getting mad and closing yourselves off, instead of getting mad and saying, I don't want to hear about it anymore, if you'll search the scriptures, if you have an open mind, if you have an open heart, and you listen to the word of God, and you search what the word of God has to say, it just might be that God's going to see fit to save your soul. If you're not a believer, don't be a believer who's mad about the fact that you're not a believer, doesn't want to hear any more about Jesus Christ. Search the scriptures. Because the word of God pronounces these people in verse number 11. The word of God says these were more noble than those of Thessalonica. Again, this is a group of people who have heard the preaching of the Apostle Paul, who have heard the reading of Scripture and Paul's explanation that the Scriptures of the Christ were promises of Jesus Christ himself coming. They'd heard all those things, but instead of being closed to those things, they kept themselves open and they searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. And the word of God records for all eternity, the word of God records for all eternity that these people at Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica. Because they kept themselves opened. They kept their hearts open and they searched. They were considered noble. The word noble means highly moral. Means grand or splendid. It means of high hereditary rank. It speaks of a person of high rank. These people at Berea are ranked highly, esteemed highly by the Apostle Paul. Luke, the one who recorded the book of Acts. But more importantly, these are labeled as high ranking by God himself because this record is recorded in Holy Scripture. Nobility. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus Christ came and he died, was buried and rose again to save sinners. And all who will repent, and all who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Jesus himself commits and promises, shall be saved. God himself commits and promises, shall be saved. All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And if you're not saved, search the scriptures. Keep your heart open. Keep your mind open. Don't shut yourself off to these things. Don't let yourself get cold and calloused. There's no nobility for those who got angry and became unbelievers and defiant in it. But there's great nobility amongst those who received the word, received it with all readiness of mind, searched the scriptures daily. Rather, those things were so. Don't harden your heart. Don't become defiant. Your eternal soul rests upon that thought of what you do with Jesus Christ. Don't believe it, refuse to believe it. Stop. Don't go there. Don't refuse. Keep yourself open. Have the nobility of those at Berea. And search the scriptures. Does the scriptures really say Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Do the scriptures really say that Jesus Christ came to give his life, to die, to be buried, and rise again, to save sinners? Do the scriptures really say that I'm a sinner, that I need a Savior? Do the scriptures really say I can be saved? Do the scriptures really say there's hope for me? Keep yourself open. Keep your heart softened. Don't let yourself get cold and calloused concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some believed, some believed not and became mad and angry about it. But some searched the scriptures. Everybody here this morning is in one of these three groups. Everybody here, this is not your first time. Everybody here has heard the preaching of Jesus Christ a multitude of times. Many, if not most, of the people gathered here this morning have heard the preaching of the gospel for years. For years. And still, they're unsaved. Keep your heart open. Keep yourself uncalloused. Keep yourself a noble person like the Bereans. Don't believe me. Believe the Word of God. Don't believe this church. Don't believe your mom and dad. Don't believe somebody at that just a human being, but believe the Word of God. Search these things. You're going to find that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're going to find Jesus Christ did come to save sinners. You're going to find Jesus will save all those who repent and believe in him. There's nobody too bad. There's nobody gone too far. There's nobody he can't save. It is said in Scripture that he saved the chiefest of sinners. He saved the chiefest of sinners when he saved the Apostle Paul. And my personal feeling is everybody here who is saved by the grace of God should take issue with that. I mean, if you're really saved and you've really experienced God's grace, I believe there ought to be a voice within all of us who have believed and truly been saved. I don't know about that. I think I was pretty bad. I think I was a sinner. Anybody here who is truly saved will acknowledge that there's a part of them who feels they were the chiefest of sinners. And that they're saved by the amazing grace of God. And they're saved because Jesus Christ died for them when they were unlovable and looked like they were unsavable. And they would stand as a testimony to everybody here who is not saved. He can save the chiefest of sinners because you're in a room full of chief sinners. And God has saved a room full of folks here today. Keep yourself open. Keep yourself softened to the Word of God. Now I want you to notice, just in passing and in closing, four qualities of these noble people. Now we move beyond the thought of they're searching the scriptures and they're keeping themselves open and looking in the Word of God to be saved. And we look for a noble people amongst those that were saved. Verse number 24 says, therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Many of them believed. Amongst these noble people at Berea, you find a noble group of saved people. If you're here and you're saved, you know you're saved, and you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, I want to ask you, are you a noble Christian? Can you be classed amongst nobility? Are you a person of high rank? Are you of high heredity rank? Are you highly moral? Are you grand? Are you splendid as a child of God? Do you possess the four qualities that are found in this passage of Scripture? What did the Bereans do? These who became eventually believers, according to verse number 12. They received the Word of God. They received the Word. That means they listened attentively. They listened respectfully to the gospel. They accepted it. They took it. They received it. They believed it. Does that describe you, my friend? Here, you're here. You name Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you listen attentively to the Word of God? Amen. For the last few weeks, we've been having an overlapping emphasis upon hearing the Word. The importance of church and the importance of going to church and the church being the pillar and ground of the truth. The importance of the book being what is the center of our services. As a professed child of God, do you listen attentively? Do you listen attentively? A few weeks ago, I'll air our dirty laundry. A few weeks ago, when I was unable to go to the conference and was here that Wednesday night, Brother Luke taught, I sat in the very back seat, a little chair back there against the wall, as far back as you can get in a sanctuary. And you know what I found? There's a lot of people who do not listen attentively to the Word of God. There's a lot of people in our services that do not listen respectfully to the Word of God. And those are not noble people. Are we a noble person? Do we receive by listening attentively, by respectfully to the gospel? Do we accept what thus saith the Lord is from service to service? These noble folks received the word. Not only did they receive the word, but they received it with all readiness of mind. Readiness of mind means that they were eager. They were willing. They were running forward. They not only listened attentively, but they were eager. They were willing. They were to be seen as running forward to hear, to consider the Word of God. Third thing we see in this passage of Scripture, they received the Word. They received the Word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures. They didn't search the Scriptures from the negative. They didn't search the Scriptures and try to disprove something they didn't like or that they refused to believe. They searched the Scriptures and they addressed the Scriptures from a positive standpoint. They approached the Scriptures to see if those things were so. And they found those things were so. What Paul was saying was the truth. And that led to the salvation of many of them. We need to search the Scriptures and search the Scriptures from a positive standpoint. See if these things were so, not so. Not to see if they're not so, so we don't have to believe them or practice them. But there's a fourth thing there in that 11th verse. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word. They received the word with all readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures. Then there's a fourth little addition there before we get out of that 11th verse. They search the Scriptures daily. They search the Scriptures daily. Jesus taught us to pray and pray that God would give us our daily bread. These folks, I don't know. I know the Word of God was precious because of the situation and circumstances politically that was in the world and the ability of printing and the fact that Scriptures had to be written. I think it was the scribe's principal job. But something leads me to believe that there was an availability of the Word of God, not just in the temple or the synagogue, not just when it was read on the Sabbath day, but they had access to the Word of God on a daily basis. And they not only searched the Scriptures on the Sabbath day, on the holy day, on the day of worship, but they searched the Scriptures daily. Rather, those things were so. We need to hold on to the touchstone of Scripture. Are you a noble Christian? Are you a noble believer in Jesus Christ? Do you listen attentively and respectfully to the Word of God and to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you eagerly, willingly run towards and receive the Word with all readiness of mind? Do you search the Scriptures? And are you in the Scriptures and do you consider the Scriptures daily? Daily. Now think of all the things you do on a daily basis. There are necessities we do every single day. Have to be done every single day. There are things personally we do every single day. They're part of our everyday life. There are things that are optional we do every single day because we like doing them. But do we search the Scriptures? Are we a noble people in that we take the Word of God in hand and read the Word of God and study the Word of God? Do we search the Scriptures daily? These people of Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word, they searched the Scriptures, rather those things were so, resulting in their salvation. And you found in them, when Paul left Berea, you would have found a group of saved folks who could be described as noble. There were those who were saved amongst that group that searched the Scriptures, who became saved searchers of Scripture. Are we a noble believer? Do we search the Scripture every single day? In this day of technology, I fear one of the greatest things we've lost is our touch with the Word of God, our touch with the Scriptures, our touch with the precious book, which is saturated with the blood of Jesus Christ. I fear God's people are starving to death. Not because they don't go to church, not because they don't hear a sermon every once in a while, but many of God's people are starving to death because they're not opening the book. They're not taking the book in hand and searching the Scripture daily. Daily. And I'm not talking about having little food for thought type things and passages of Scripture that maybe becomes the Scripture of the day for us. I'm not talking about those things, and I'm not saying those are wrong or there's anything evil about those things. I'm saying we need to take the Scripture in hand and search it on a daily basis. So these were people of nobility. These were people who heard the preaching of the Apostle Paul, the lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ, and searched the Scriptures whether or not those things were so, and many of them became believers. They were noble people after they were saved because they followed that pattern of those 4 points in verse number 11. And you're only a noble Christian, and I'm only a noble person if we likewise follow those 4 steps in that 11th verse. God help us to seek the nobility that was ascribed to the people of Berea. And as we draw back and come to a close, I draw back and I bring your focus in upon those 3 responses. Some believed, some believed not and got angry, some searched the Scriptures. Where are you this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? What hinders you from being saved? Freeness of salvation, I think, is what we're going to be looking at, if not tonight, next Sunday night. The freeness of salvation is found in the term whosoever believes, whosoever comes. Does God really mean that? I believe He does. Whosoever will may come. The only thing that keeps the salvation of the worst of all sinners is their own sinful depravity. But if you're here and you're lost, you can become a believer. See your sin. See Jesus Christ dying for your sin. Seeing the Scriptures, lifting up Jesus Christ and saying, "This is the Savior. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ," and leave here this morning saved and on your way to heaven. And if that's not going to be the case, when you leave here today, don't leave here mad and angry about it. Leave here keeping yourself open and keeping yourself softened to hear and search the Scriptures. And I know this is only by grace, but I've just got to put it the way it comes to my mind. Don't stop searching. Don't quit. Be like the people of Berea. Don't stop searching until you find the Lord Jesus Christ. Who needs to be saved? Does the statement "you need to be saved" apply to you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Don't just be somebody who refuses and goes away mad. Today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save your soul. Let's stand again.